This is a special service. This is a service takeover by YAYA, which is the Young Adults and Youth Affairs of Bethel Assembly. So you're welcome. So we'll just be doing something very different this morning. We're going to have a panel that will be answering a couple questions based on contentment, as that's our theme for today. The text is Philippians 4, 10 to 20. We'll start with Olamide.
Okay. Contentment, how I would define that would be being happy with what you have, being okay with what you have, not looking at what other people have, not envying other people with how they're doing or what they have, just being happy.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Stay unique.
Hi, good morning, church. Okay, so how would I define contentment? Thank you, sir. honestly, as believers, I like to take, like, you know, when we're in the house of God, I like to take our examples for the Bible. We prayed about this, or we used the scripture to pray. 1 Timothy 6, if we don't mind opening, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6, I believe. All right, and it says, but godliness, I'm sorry I'm squinting, I use glasses, bad habits. But it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Next verse, please. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Most people will stop at this verse, but can we go to the next one, please? And having food and raiment, thank you. Let us be there with content. So that's where I wanted us to get to. So essentially my understanding of contentment is understanding that God will always provide, as long as you're content in him first, as in seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added unto you, right? So be content first in God and having your trust and knowing who you are, that he will always provide. He's Jireh. So like, yeah, that's how I see contentment.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd like to look at contentment still from that same scripture, but can we have it in Amplified, please? All right, thank you. So when we look at this scripture here, the Bible talks about godliness is actually a great source of great gain when accompanied with contentment. Now, in order to try to describe that contentment, that's which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on whose sufficiency. So when we look at contentment, you want to look at it from the point view of God, not from your source, not from your ability, not from your wisdom, not from your own understanding, but from God, who is the source of all things. Amen. Now in verse 7 talks about the fact that we brought nothing into this world, and we're still going to go out with nothing. Now, with that understanding, if you now go to verse 8, with the understanding that we didn't have anything when we were born into this world. And so the struggle of, I want to accomplish this, I want to achieve this, and I want to achieve that, as good as those are, let's be content with where we start, where we are, while we're still looking forward to where we are going to. It's not about what someone else is doing, what someone else has accomplished, what someone else has achieved, but what you, based on how God has helped you. Everyone in life has a variety of, options. And it's not going to be the same route that we're going to take. But whatever route you are going to, if yours, you're driving, an SUV, or it's a foot wagon, it doesn't matter what. When you are content, you will know that contentment, it's not from you, it's from God. And so it has nothing to do with what you possess, but what God has provided for you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Our next question, we'll start from Sister Unique. Can contentment coexist with ambition and the pursuit of personal or professional goals? And how can you balance the two?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sorry. My answer straight up to that question is yes. Contentment can coexist with your ambition and pursuit. But what I would like us to emphasize is essentially why we are believers, right? And that is Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the reason why I want to emphasize that is that, just like Pastor said, once you understand that you came into this world with nothing, you're leaving this world with nothing. Essentially, the only thing you leave this world with is your salvation, your belief, your faith in Christ. So your labor is not, you can't labor for things that are materialistic, things that would essentially expire, if that makes sense. What is, like, everlasting is eternal life. That is where our labor dwells in. That does not mean that you sit down in your house and say, God will provide, I'm a believer. You know, my next paycheck is coming from somebody that God has sent to be my destiny helper. Help your destiny, please. Work hard, but then understanding that you're not comparing yourself to the things of this world, because that's not who you are in Christ. So, yeah.
Well, let me do.
Hello? Yeah. Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Well, can contentment coexist with ambition and the pursuit of personal or professional goals, and how can you balance the two?
Okay. Short answer, yes. Yes, it can. So if you look at it like you as a Christian having ambitions, what are your ambitions? Your ambitions should be obviously to meet Christ after everything is done in the world. But at the same time, doesn't mean you shouldn't want good things in life. Obviously, it shouldn't mean, but you should align with what God wants. Contentment, being happy, God has already put you in a place where he has given you, you have a house, you have a family, you have things you take care of, you're well off. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't completely disregard that and be like, oh, I want a mansion, I want 10 million, as long as you align with God's word. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. I strongly believe that there is need for balance. Mm-hmm. When we understand that the life that we have in Christ Jesus is not only, and I repeat, is not only spiritual, because that's where most Christians miss the mark. We focus only on the spiritual and we'll leave the physical. If you go to the scripture, I believe it's Philippians chapter 4 from verse 11. Let's have it in Amplified. Yes. Philippians 4 from verse 11. Now the scripture here, you know, so Paul was talking about, it says, not that I speak from any need, for I have learned to be content. Now, the word here, to be content, is not something that just happened. It says, I have what? I have learned. You see, there are times in life that we need to learn that where I am right now, there is still the next level. And before I get to that next level, what I need to do now, I need to be content with my current level first while I am improving myself to be able to get to that next level. And so it doesn't take away from you having a goal, ambition. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he says, my will, my goal, my ambition is to what? To do the will of my Father and to fulfill it. And so being content is not a license for us as believers to be lazy. It's also not a license for us to now be greedy so that we don't run ahead of God. If you go to verse 12 of that scripture, it says, I know how to get along and live, whether it's in difficult time, I also know how to enjoy abundance and what? And in prosperity, in any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well fed or going hungry. The truth is, for Christians, it's only when things are going good that we are content. The moment it's not going good, yes, that one is from the devil. But we need to understand that whatever God allows us to pass through, there is always a lesson there. And he wants us to be content because we said something earlier from that Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Our identity in Christ Jesus is the most important thing. When you know you are a believer, he says, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. Everything else comes from God shall be added. And so when you know you are a child of God, it doesn't matter what you face. You know that God can never leave you nor forsake you. And so don't let's run away from challenges of life. You will never see any great man in life accomplished in their career, in their business, without what? A goal. But that does not mean that we are now going to place that as the only and the primary objective. No. While you are serving God, and I believe I've used this example before, every one of us must have a goal for your life, your career. We are all not going to be pastors. Some of us are going to be entrepreneurs. Some are going to be industrialists. Some are going to be in government. Everybody must still have a goal. Now, when you have that kind of goal, that means your aspiration will be different from mine. And so when you are content with where you are, it's easy for you to focus on Christ that will take you to that next level. And if you go down to verse 13, when we get along in every situation, it says, then you can now do how many things? When you submit those goals, those aspirations to God, you will be able to do all things because he's the one that will empower you to be self-sufficient in Christ, not based on your accomplishment or your ability. Praise God.
Amen. So our last question today, we'll start from Olamide. How does practicing gratitude contribute to cultivating contentment in our lives?
Sorry, could you repeat that one more time?
How does practicing gratitude contribute to cultivating contentment in our lives?
Okay. Gratitude, being exercising, being thankful and grateful for everything you have. When you say to God, God, I thank you for I'm alive. Thank you that I have so and so. It reminds you of what he has done for you. Like, you could just be in your sitting room and the news, something on the news, like somebody died, and then you now remember, wow, life is fragile, life is short, you know? And it makes you think, then you now start thinking, God, I thank you for that I'm alive, my family is well, nobody in my family is dead. So I believe that gives you a sense of gratitude that I'm happy that where God has put me, where I am in life. Yeah.
Thank you. Staying.
Praise the Lord. Can we please read or open to the book of Hebrews 13, verse 5? I'll read from here. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? But if you read verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. So I wanted to emphasize the remembering part, because part of gratitude is remembering essentially who has paved the way for you to be where you're at right now. And it helps if you're grateful, right? It helps you
not to be covetous, not to, as in, when you sometimes just remember that, honestly, forgetting what this person has right now, I see the grace that me, myself, I carry, because this person, as, like, you know, pastor, I've called pastor several times, and he has joined faith with me and prayed for me. I remember the person that preached to me the first time about salvation and essentially helped me to be saved. I remember the person that helped me with my first interview and, you know, got me the job that I am, that I have right now. So if you remember all of those things, it helps you not be covetous, and in turn helps you to be content. So yes, gratitude does help, like, you know, when it comes to being content and not being covetous. Thank you.
Pastor.
Amen. I believe the attitude of gratitude is what every believer should have. Now, when you refer to someone who has an attitude, let it be that you have an attitude of gratitude. The scripture says, I believe, in Psalm 100 from verse 4, it talks about enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. It says, be thankful unto him. Now, wherever we are, having all agreed that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's just by God's grace. So if you are not being thankful, then that means you are invariably just saying, hey, this is by my own might. This is by my own power. So, but when you are thankful, that's even when God will actually take you higher and take you greater. Being grateful and being content goes hand in hand. If you actually see someone who is not content, they were never grateful. And one thing I've also found out in life is there is nothing that we have that would be sufficient. I'm sure we all agree. Some of us started with, I don't know how much, you know, they will tell you, we'll give you $20 an hour, $25, but you want more, right? And you'll find that it will get to a point that, yeah, you still always want to have more. But when you have Christ, and you also have opportunity to be able to do other things, like Joseph, Joseph said, no, I can't do this and sin against God. I'm grateful for where I am now. I know the promise that God has for me is the promise of the throne. If he had settled for that opportunity, the worst he will ever become is assistant Potiphar. But he did not. He says, I'm grateful to God, even though this is not where God wants me to be. And eventually, God took him to the top. I'd like to encourage us, let's be grateful for where we are, because whatever challenges that you actually see right now, they're just stepping stones to the next level. But when you are grateful, that means you are content, and God is the one that will always take us to the next level. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Have we been blessed? Let's give a round of applause for our panelists. Thank you. Thank you so much. And as we've heard from our panelists, they've given us their different views, different perspectives. But generally, at the end of the day, contentment is just finding that inner peace and that fulfillment in Christ first. God comes first before every other thing. And like when we are talking about contentment, we have, it's something we deal with in our daily lives, but we have to cultivate a heart of course, gratitude, as Pastor said. We have to trust in God's provision. We have to set our mind to the things that are above and not the earthly things, as it says in Colossians 3:2. Quote me if I'm wrong. All right, we're going to talk just a little bit about contentment in Christ. Contentment in Christ is recognizing that true fulfillment that comes from aligning our lives with God's purpose and his kingdom. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us to be content in what we have, for what God has promised us. He said he will not leave us or forsake us. So like, there's nothing you are going through that God cannot come and change the situation in the blink of an eye. Right? Like, do I have a witness? Is there a witness in the house? Yeah? Okay. When we abide in Christ, we abide in his presence, in his guidance, his peace. He enables us to trust that whatever it is, whatever, like, trust his plans for you. Like, again, we said, set goals, you know, have your goals, have your ambitions, professionally, non-professionally. Do you? But at the end of the day, you have those goals, take them to God first and say, okay, if this is according to your will, right? It says, according to your will, let it be done. And if it's not according to his will, tell him to reroute the GPS. Maybe, you know, you're just maybe on the wrong track. Which, of course, brings us to, you have to have a relationship with Christ anyways. The relationship with Christ will allow you to have a different perspective on the things you're seeing. Like, what, in other words, of course, we have challenges. I've learned how not to use the word struggle, because I was told struggle is not, no, Christians don't struggle. I don't know if it's true. But that's what they told me. But that we go through challenges, and there's no challenge that is above God, of course. So it is looking past those challenges, looking past those situations or circumstances that will not allow you to say, okay, like, oh, I'm okay with where I am and everything. Like, and one of our brothers said, like, oh, like, you're thinking the next person has this, and so because I don't have that, in other words, my life is not complete. That's not the way it is. Because, said, somebody would can open, turn on TV and then find out that, oh, somebody died, and just like, oh, I passed that road yesterday. Like, we pass, I use 401 a lot. I don't know if anybody, like, there's always something happening. Yeah, I don't watch CP24, sure, so I cannot come answer. Somebody would just be panicking just to drive on the road. But yes, so things like that, times like that, like, you're not going to remember that, oh, I didn't buy that thing I wanted to buy. Oh, I don't have what that person has at that moment. That's not what you're thinking about, right? So that's our generic contentment. I don't know. Am I making sense so far? Yeah, thank you. Thank God. All right. There are some obstacles that we have, you know, to being content, or that, you know, that we find in being, we cannot be content with whatever our daily lives and whatnot. And those obstacles include comparisons, anxiety, lack of gratitude, materialism, limitations, insecurity, fear, and external pressures. Obviously, there's more. There are more and more obstacles of it in our daily lives, but these are the major ones I've selected because these are the things I feel like is in our day-to-day life. We get compared even very easily. And I'm going to mention this, and I hope I don't get in trouble later. I do realize that, love, me, when I was growing up, I used to get compared sometimes a little bit to, like, maybe, like, oh, is it not your mate that's getting first in class? It's still comparison. However they want to rearrange the sentence, it's still comparison. Sometimes can be demoralizing. So those are, like, some things that, of course, it does not allow you. You're never content because now you now feel like, oh, you have to be first. Oh, you do. Please be first. Be first and not be last. anxiety. We talk about anxiety even outside of the church. There are a lot of people are going through some very serious anxiety and depression. And those, I think, again, that's a big obstacle to never being content, because the only reason you feel that way is because you are not in a certain place. You are not in a setting, you can't do a certain thing. Or people are saying you can't, like, mm-mm. Then lack of gratitude. When Pastor was talking, when Star Unique mentioned, like, oh, you have to even remember, like, to be, like, you know, thankful. I remember something someone told me a while ago, and it's like, do you know that moment when you are asking someone to get maybe like a loan for money, you know how to send a message in every 5 minutes and be like, how far that money. When they've sent it, we've not heard from you again, sir. What happened? And then you just be like, thanks. What's thanks? Like, it took days. It took, you know, there was so much momentum when you were asking. Then it's time to say thank you, and just like, thanks. Yeah, I feel like it's starting to sound personal. It's not. It's not personal at all. It's not personal at all. We talk about materialism, like, talk about fast fashion. There's fast fashion is something that happens, that is what we are experiencing right now, especially in this part of the world. Like, sometimes you're buying, you don't really need it. Again, I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm preaching the message. So, like, you don't have to always get what is, trending, right? You don't always have to be in the same, because that's where all this peer pressure comes in, and I get it, especially like, you know, we as youth, I'm talking to myself as well, I'm still a youth, leave it there. Then we'll talk about limitations. Limitations, honestly, like, I don't, you know, they say the sky is the limit. Me, I think the sky is starting point. Because, and I say that because, like, you can achieve anything you want as long as you set your mind to it. You have to set your mind to it. I believe in writing down goals. I said in the first service, like, when you go to seminars, you go to especially finance seminars, they always tell you, write down your goal. Like, if you don't write it down, they don't know, it might just poof in the air. You might not remember that, oh, that's what you said you were going to do yesterday. You're going to write down those goals. Like, you're only limited by what you can, what you don't do. Right? Like, I believe there was someone that said, like, you can only fail. The only time that you can fail is when you actually went through it. Like, you have to even go through the process to know that, oh, I failed. So you have to keep trying. So don't limit yourself. Talk about insecurities and fears. Like, people have a lot of fears. Some people have funny fears. I have a friend that is scared of too much breeze. Sorry, some things are just baffling, and like I cannot dispute it. Like, oh, sorry, there's too much breeze. Let's go inside. You know, like, just those are some just little things. And of course, I am generalizing these obstacles that affect, that don't allow you to be contented with your life per se. We're going to talk about overcoming the obstacles. That's where I'm really trying to get to this morning. And I have a couple things. First one is encouragement. A word goes a long way in encouraging someone. It could be your neighbor. It could even be someone you don't talk to all the time. Like, it's just, oh, like, person is, oh, you can do it. Don't worry. You got this. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Can I get NIV, please? Thank you. Anyway, so we're talking about encouragement. The Bible has told us, like, I don't think there's any, I'm yet to find any issue or anything that you can necessarily be going through that the Bible doesn't have a solution for, or that there's no response, or there's no at least direction on what to do. Like, I'm yet to see. So, like, even the Bible tells us to encourage one another. Talk about accountability. Galatians 6, 1 to 2. Okay. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I know I said I don't know about this carrying each other's burdens, because again, some people have some problems that are bigger than mine. And I know God, they say God will not give you more than what you can handle. So what if when I add that person's burden? I'm doing past my power already. So, but according to the Bible, we can do it. We can do all things. You can find an accountability partner. Like, that's something that a lot of people do. Like, now, and I know there's a trust factor that's involved in accountability partners. Like, I don't want to tell this person what I'm going through. They'll use it against me. Find pastor. Also, we're going to talk about practical support. James 2, 15 to 16. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Someone can be cold outside and you're just like, oh, the Lord will warm you up. Like, it doesn't work like that. We need to help people. Like, do the little you can. You're encouraged to help that brother or that sister. It's not somebody you talk to, it's a stranger, that's fine. Do your part and walk away. Stranger danger, I understand, but, like, still help. Like, we're Christians at the end of the day, we are the church, but the church does not end inside the building. What you do outside too, we are living as Christians, so we are examples of Christ. Shared experiences, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort. Next. 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That is like, what's the statement again? A problem shared is a problem half solved. Listening to somebody else's issues, you might not have a solution. You might not have a solution. You might not have the answers to their problem, but you have listening ears. God has given us 2 ears, so please let's use it for other people too. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know that there are some habits and patterns of life that, you know, can contribute to feeling discontentment or dissatisfaction. But like, you can, I think contentment is something that you can build. You can you work on it. It's not a flip switch. You don't just switch overnight. You want to cultivate a habit of being content. You want to remember to always be grateful. You want to focus on what actually matters. Like, put your first focus is God, and then like put your mind, set realistic goals, like talk to people, network spiritually and physically. You're growing like hand in hand. You want to have that balance in everything that you do, and those are like that way you know that no matter what it is, like what you have, you're not going to be like, God, why am I? This person is like, everybody's running a different race. I don't think there's anybody that is running the same race. I don't think everybody has the same challenges. I don't think everybody is fighting the same battles. When we all walk out to our different lives and different homes, we're all dealing with our struggles, challenges differently. Differently. So just finding things to get your mind off of it. You want to find hobbies. You want to just have joy, like joy and fulfillment in all that you do. And we're going to emphasize Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing will come to you. Every other thing without question. Praise the Lord.